So now we are looking at Romans chapter 12. This has been our springboard through this whole journey of the gifts of the Spirit. We are looking at the gift of serving. And so let's look at verses 4 through 6a of Romans chapter 12. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this night again, Father, the opportunity to be in your word now. And Father, I pray that you just be with me. Give me the words to say tonight. I pray, Father, that we are come ready to hear from you. I pray, Father, that we'll be willing to apply these things to our lives. If we have the gift of service, this serving gift, I pray, Father, that we would be willing to use it, that it would benefit others, and that would glorify you. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight now. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said last week, these people that have this gift of serving, they work to meet needs with a disregard for personal weariness. Doesn't matter how tired or worn out they get, they just keep going because they have this desire to meet needs, the needs of others. And so that's where they're at. This is where pastors have to be very careful, because we can take advantage of a servant pretty easily. You find somebody who's willing to serve, and you can just pile on and pile on and pile on because you see somebody who's willing to do it and not think twice about it, and they don't complain. They just get in and get the job done. And so it's really one of those things that you have to be careful with, because people who have the gift of service can burn out by being overloaded. And I have a hard time. I'm kind of different. I've been under some pastoral authorities where they just dictate. I want you to do this, and I need it done by now, and they give it to them. I've always been of the mindset, I go and I approach people and say, "Is this something that you would like to do?" I try not to dictate that somebody has to do something, because if they're not comfortable doing it, I don't want to force them that on them and make them feel like they have to. And there's some people that with the gift of serving, even though it's not something they know what they're doing or anything, they'd still be willing to do it because they were asked or it needed to be done, instead of, and they might hurt themselves in the process or whatever. So people with the gift of serving have a problem with a little two-letter word, no. They have a problem saying no. I remember years ago, everything they asked me at the Board of Realtors, I would just sign up for. All the different committees, in fact, I thought I was living down there a couple years in a row. And the joke was that they were just going to put a cot in the back room because I was down there constantly serving on one committee or another. And finally I said, when I was asked for more, I just said no. And the gal who asked me, she just kind of jumped back and she goes, "What do you mean no?" I said, exactly what it sounded like, "No, I'm done. I can't do anymore." And so we have to be careful, because we can burn out pretty easily and be overwhelmed by taking on too much. And so that's something that pastors have to be cognizant about, because you don't want to overload people and get them to the point where they'll burn out, because people with a gift of service, just it's hard for them to say no. So it's good if you could have people that rotate in some of that stuff. In larger churches, it's easier to do that. In smaller churches, obviously, you have only so many people to do stuff. So I know we did nursery work at one church we were at, and you had a rotation service, so not everybody was in there every single week. And that was kind of nice, because you would do your service and then you could go and be part of the rest of what's going on. And so that was kind of nice. These people have a great desire to see the job finished once it started. And I'm one of those that go till it's done, because I want to see the finish, right? When we were working on the front porch, I could tell you Brother Pete and I were out there, and we put in some long days out there, and Brother Fred had come the 1 week, and Brother Rick was here that week, and but the next week it was just the two of us, and we worked all day on that thing. And as we got down to the end, I said, all we got to do is really just grind these things off, right? Then they're ready to fill again in case there's any holes, and then grind them the rest of the way. And he said, I'm just spent. And I said, well, the other side of it is it's getting dark. I mean, yes, we have light out there, but it's getting dark. And so, but my deal was, I just wanted to see it done. I just want to see it finished. And so that's kind of what happens with these, is they want that done. When others want to leave the workday, these people with this gift will say, oh, come on, it's just a few more hours and we'll be finished with everything, right? And I have that at times, I think, you know. But sometimes we've had only two or three people show up on a workday, and you can't get, you can only do so much before you're totally worn out. So you've got to just say, no, we have to stop, and we'll pick up from here and move on. They enjoy short-term goals, but long-term goals frustrate them because they want to see it done, right? They want to see the end. They want to see the finished product. And so that's a problem. So the dangers with that is a tendency to exclude others. They'll exclude those that don't have the same gift that they have, because they don't want to be having to encourage others to stay longer and all. They just do it. They don't want to be the one trying to drag other people along. They just want to just get in and get it done. So that's a tendency. A lot of it has to do with, I can do it easier and faster myself than having other people. But when we have that mentality, we can rob other people of a blessing, because there's other people that could do that as well and help. And sometimes these people also have trouble cooperating with others because they want to just get in and get it done. And so they look like to other people that they want to be in charge and in control, when that's not necessarily their mindset. Their mindset is they just want to get it done. And so servants need to learn to be a team player and also to delegate. That's one of my hardest things, is to delegate. And I used to do it pretty well when I was in management, because I had employees that worked for me, and I'd just say, I need this done, handle it, and I want it done by now, and I just expect it to be done. But when I don't have people that are employees that work under me, I have a hard time delegating and saying, I need this done, and this is when I... And so I have a tendency to try and do those things myself, which, again, robs people of a blessing. D.L. Moody said, I would rather get 100 men to work than to do the work of 100 men. Makes, you know, I've said many times, many hands make light work, right? Because we have lots of different people. I like when we have a work day and we have some people are inside, some people are outside, some people are upstairs, some people are downstairs, and everything's getting done. But not everybody has to be involved in every task. So it makes it, and then the days go pretty quick. Quickness in meeting needs sometimes make them appear pushy. As I mentioned, you know, people think they want to be in charge and all that because they want to get things done. Since the servant works without personal weariness, they think everyone ought to work that same way. Some people, you just, you know, After last Thursday night, we had our prayer time and all, Brother Fred came up to me, and he had announced the week before when I was gone about going to the doctor and finding out about his red blood count and all. And he said, that's why I've been so tired and all, is because I don't have the blood count that I'm supposed to have in getting the oxygen to the body and everywhere. And so I said, you know, when you're wore out, you're wore out. The week he worked with us, he finally came and said, you know, I've just got to go. I can't do this anymore today. And we said, that's great. We appreciate the time you could spend. But you have to listen to your body, and you know when it's time to quit. And so people who have this, you know, work, 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 and not worry about how, you know, tired and sore and all they are, you can't expect everybody to have that same mentality, because not everybody looks that way. And there's, let's face it, we're in a church with lots of health issues. Nobody's immune. And so we have to be careful we don't try and get people going and not look upon people. If you have the gift of service, don't look at people that have to stop because they just physically can't go on as being lazy, because that's not necessarily the case. It helps when we know about all the gifts, so we can learn about the gifts that others have and not just the ones that we have ourselves, so we can see it from different perspectives. And then eagerness in serving makes some suspicious of them having a motive of self-advancement. I never figured out how far do you advance in the church. But there are some people that look, well, they just want, you know, a different position in the church or something. There's only so many positions in the church, and we're all basically equals in the church. Now, yes, God's put me as the under-shepherd in the church, but I, you know, I'm human just like you are. And so we need to just work together and not look at it as a jealous thing. And then common statements, which are usually unfair and untrue, is they always have to be in the middle of everything. That's not really true, and it's unfair. Always trying to score points with the pastor, that's not why they do what they do. They do it because they actually have a gift of serving and they want to use it. And then, well, I guess they think that they are the only ones qualified, which judges motives. No, they just see a need and they meet it. And so we have to be careful not to judge them. The true test of a servant is how you respond when you are treated like one. Are you under authority? Are you submissive? Then serve with no looking back. And then I know perception is reality, right? If it's perceived to be, it's got to be true, right? So do what you can to not appear that way if you have this gift. But beyond that, blow it all off. You know, there's some people are going to, my favorite line, people are people and people are going to do what people do. You got to just blow it off sometimes and say they'll either get over it or they won't, and move on. Not to mention, while they're talking about you, you're going to get a lot of things accomplished. As with any of these gifts, to be most effective, you have to become immune to the criticism, and the criticism will come. Again, people are people, and people do what people do, so yes, there's going to be criticism when people are out serving, because that's what they do. Just be aware of your liabilities, do your best, and blow off unfounded criticism like water off a duck's back. Only one way to avoid all criticism: don't do anything at all. It's the only way to avoid criticism, if you never do anything at all. And so, but where's the where there is motion, there is friction, excuse me. Quickness in meeting needs of others may interfere with spiritual lessons God is trying to teach that person. Again, I think I've mentioned this before. Sometimes I have this thing, it's my personal deal, is I want to meet the needs of people. If I see somebody with a need, I want to meet it. The only problem is that you keep meeting these needs, and sometimes God has people going through certain things so he can teach them and grow them through that. And so if you just rescue them all the time, then God's not able to do what God's trying to do in that person's life, because you're circumventing it. And so we need to make sure that we're praying before we're intervening on behalf of people. And I'm not against meeting needs of people. Just make sure that that's what God would have you to do. You have to be sensitive to what God's doing in their lives. Some need to learn how to do that job for themselves. You can help them, teach them, or watch them do it, but it is better to teach a man to fish than to give him a fish, right? And then some people's financial need is because of their own negligence. I'm dealing with some people right now, and they've gotten themselves so far in debt, it's not funny, and now they're in a bind, and they don't know what to do. And my answer is, I can't create something that doesn't exist. I can't do it. So, and I didn't put them there. They put themselves there, and they're going to have to figure it out. God allows some to come to a point of lack in order to teach them valuable lessons. And then you must prayerfully discern when to help and when not to. As I said, you never want to undermine their motivation to help themselves. Obviously, we're seeing that in the world today, especially in the United States, where handout after handout after handout, and so now people are just expecting all the handouts. You know, this is probably get me in trouble, but I said when you have 2.5 times the jobs that you have people on unemployment, it's time to cut off the unemployment and tell them to get to work. We're still going to have 1.5 times jobs that are not filled, so there ought to be a job out there that they can do. And I just saw one on the way here tonight. They have $17 an hour to work at a car wash to start with 3 weeks paid time off. I think I was at the company 4 years before I got 3 weeks paid time off. So, you know, there's jobs out there if people would just do them. Some need to suffer a little lack before we step in and be their safety net. Enjoyment and short-range goals can lead to frustration in achieving the big vision in the long term. Servants, the body of Christ could never function properly without you. And that's true. We just couldn't. Take my hat off to those who are servants. And I know you do not do what you do for recognition, but I, for one, am thankful for people with the servant gift. And then some of us have our rewards right now, but servants will be richly rewarded one day. It's amazing, the gift of service. And like I said, some people have more than one gift. Some people have the gift of serving and also others. And so we need to be willing to use all our gifts. And that's what I have, and that finishes that one, so we'll pick up next week.